already come back and gotten your joy restored into your soul, because these songs have been wonderful. From the start of the service, the testimonies and the prayer requests, and just being able to see our brothers and sisters in the house of the Lord and see how that God has blessed them so. It's been wonderful to be here this morning. I know that we're surrounded by a lot of different circumstances, some of them this morning that are so sad that it just tears and grips at our hearts. But I'm glad that I know a God that's able to bring the comfort that we need in this hour of uncertainty and such brokenheartedness this morning. The book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the faith chapter, is what it's often referred to. I want to go down, not reading about any of them in particular, but starting at verse 13 and trying to preach from a thought that the Lord laid upon my heart this week from verses 13 through 16. He says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country." Can anybody say amen? Amen? "That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." And stop reading there with that 16th verse. I like to use this morning for a text. I got out one of my old Bibles that I had written in years ago, bringing a message that the Lord had laid upon my heart at that time. And it was back in the book of Genesis. But I want to use that text this morning because that's what the Lord laid up on my heart. I'd like to preach to you, pilgrims and strangers in a strange land, heading home. Heading home. Because that's what we are today. This here is telling us from the book of Hebrews that many of our forefathers trusted in the Lord, and many of them did not receive the promises. They had not seen the promises, but seeing them afar off, they knew that God was going to provide a better country for them than where they were at. And I'm not talking about the country with which we live in today. In order to understand this, you have to go back to the book of Genesis and start in Genesis, the 12th chapter, and began to read forward to find that God had called Abram to get him out of his country and away from his kindred and away from his father's house and to a land that I will show thee. And he said, "I will make out of you a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thee a great name amongst the people. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." How many of you are families of the earth this morning? That's all of us. And if the Lord told our father Abram that he was going to bless him, and he said, "And this is not just for me, but it's for all of your kinfolk, it's for all of your children, it's for all of your family," this morning we are of the family of Abram. And we are blessed because of our Father. Let me preach for a few minutes of time. The children of Israel, God had told Abram to get his people, to get out of his father's place and get into a land in which he was going to show him. And the Bible also tells us that the Lord, because Abram believed in the Lord, it was counted unto him for righteousness. He did not know where that God was going to take him and where this land was that the Lord was going to bless him with. But over in the book of Exodus, and I'm covering a lot of territory this morning, but over in the book of Exodus, it says that he would give him the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. He said, "I'm going to take you out of this land where you're at and take you unto a land that is flowing with milk and honey." And Abram believed it unto the Lord, that the Lord spoke it, and the Bible says that it was given unto him as righteousness, and he is found in the hall of faith, if you'll have it this morning, because he trusted in the Lord. And I will say, had Abram not trusted in the Lord, they would never receive the promises that God had given unto them, and nor would we. But the Bible says that everywhere they went, they were seen as pilgrims and strangers. You remember after they started, there was a famine down in Egypt, and they went down into the land of Egypt for 400 years. They were in bondage down there, and they never got to go to the land that God wanted them to have. And we say, well, why didn't God just move? God told Abram before he ever started that they was going to end up in that place for 400 years because of their unbelief and because of the way that they spoke against God. And they, if I can put it like this, it's like a lot of our people today. They got out there and they enjoyed where they was at too much to count on God. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. They enjoyed the things where they was at instead of pursuing what God had promised unto them. And the Bible says that they, when they traveled, it was the Lord that brought them out from underneath bondage. And if you start in Genesis, you have to go over to the book this morning of Joshua to find that when they finally entered into the land, you remember God told them that I will give you a land that has vineyards that you did not plant. I'm going to give you a land that has houses on it that you did not build. I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you gold and silver that you did not earn and that you, was not yours. But because that you trusted in my name, I'm going to bless you with all these things. He told them before they even went into bondage, when you leave there, you're going to leave there with great riches when you come out. And they, everywhere they went, they dwelt in tents. They dwelt in tents and they just traveled. In fact, God told them, he says, when you go out, he says, I'm going to put a great fire in the sky to lead you, to guide you, a fire by day and a night and a cloud by day that's going to lead you where you need to go. But everywhere they went, they dwelt in these tents of what we would call, it wasn't even fit for them to be out there for all that time trying to get to that place to where God had promised to them. And no doubt many of them along the journey got weak and got frail, and some of them even got down upon their belief in the Lord. But can you see somebody standing up in the midst of that service and saying, look where God brought us from. Look where we was at. Our fathers was in bondage for 400 years, and God delivered us, brought us through the Red Sea, brought us through River Jordan, and into this land that the Lord has promised to us. How in the world can we give up on God now after all that He has brought us through? And some of us in a Baptist church on a Sunday morning, we ought to look back at our past and say, Satan, there is no stopping place for me and my family. Can you get a witness this morning that let me tell you where the Lord brought me from? And people say, well, your family was never in bondage. You was never in a place like what he was talking about here in the Word. And if you go back to the book of Genesis, you will find out that we all, because of our father Adam, we all dwelt in a land that we was not a citizen of and that we had no reason to be there. But the Lord told us, I can take you to a better place. Let me go back for just a minute to where the children of Israel were. Even while they was there, the Bible says for the 40 years that they was walking in the wilderness trying to get to where the Lord wanted them to go, that even their shoes did not wear out and their clothes did not perish, but the Lord sustained them the whole journey long. Folks, I want to say this morning, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I wouldn't take anything for what the Lord has blessed us with. I may have never dwelt in a tent. And can you see them when they were was traveling, Larry, that the people, some of them would begin to look at them and say, who are these vagabonds? Who are these folks that's out there living in a tent? But somebody would stand up and tell them, have you not heard? These are the ones that trust in Jehovah. These are the ones that call the God that is able to answer. And this is the one that was able, even Jericho, with the three-walled city, that when they went around it for 7 days, on the seventh day, the seventh time around, they sounded a trumpet and the walls fell down. These are not vagabonds, but these are people that know a God that is very powerful today, and you better be careful about what you say about them. Even along the way, folks, there were some strangers that joined in with them. Anybody else read the Bible where it says sometimes when they would go into cities and they would be defeated, that there would be those that would come against them or come up to them and say, I know that you serve a great God. I know, and I don't want myself. Anybody ever else remember Rahab when the city was about to be destroyed? She says, I'll help you. I'll hide you, but you've got to spare me and my family. She knew that these people had a mighty God. I want to preach this morning. Not only did they have a mighty God, but we still have a mighty God today. People say, well, what about these testimonies about America losing her power and all that is going along with it? Folks, it's not God that's lost His power. It's because people have taken their eyes off of the Lord and got them consumed on these things of this world. The world has nothing to offer you compared to what God is going to give you today. Let me preach for a few minutes. Along the way, the Lord told them everywhere they went. You remember when Abram and his nephew Lot went into towns, he said, when we pass by, he says, we'll touch nothing of yours. We'll not look to the left or right. We'll just keep going through if you'll let us pass through. Because you see, they wasn't interested in what they had along the way. They knew where God was going to take them to. Anybody else read the back of the book this morning? I feel like the children of Israel sometimes. I know the Lord brought me out of great bondage. How many of you remember where you was at when the Lord came by your house and knocked upon your heart's door? You know what the Lord said unto you? You may be a pilgrim and a stranger. A pilgrim means that they was searching for something. They was looking for something that was missing in their life. And I remember when I was looking and I was sitting in a church similar to what we are today, and the preacher was preaching, and it got me to thinking about my life and what I had done and where I was headed. And the next thing you know, I no longer wanted to be a citizen of where I was at. How many of you realize if you are not a citizen of heaven, you are a citizen of hell and destruction this morning? There is no in between. You're in one of them or you're in the other one today. But I declare the best thing I ever did do was when I heard the preacher preach and I began to wonder in my soul about my future, and I said, I do not like where I'm living at. Some of you can help me this morning and you realize that you didn't like where you was living at. But then I lost sight of the preacher, and it was the Holy Spirit that was telling me, I can take you to a better land. Hallelujah, this morning. I feel like preaching. I can take you to a better land. Even though the patriarchs of old, the Lord told them, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. And we know that sounds sweet and it sounds good. I don't know what we'll have when we cross over the river of Jordan into the land that God has prepared. But I do know this. The Master's got a table set for all of those that will come. And people say, well, Kenny Bates, what are we going to eat when we get there? I don't know what we're going to have. But Jesus said, I will not eat any more on this side until I eat it anew with you in my Father's house today. I'm glad that just like the children of Israel, every time they went into a city, every time they went into a town, they realized it was not by their power that they defeated the enemy. This morning, as I feel bold this morning with the help of the Holy Spirit, for those things that we are facing in our life, folks, it's not by our power or our might that we're going to get the victory, but it's by the power of God this morning. Somebody needs to move today and ask God to help you in what you're going through, to help you get the strength that you have need of. Every one of us was once a stranger from the commonwealth of Israel. People say, I didn't know that the Bible calls it like that. That's what the Lord says. We are all that have been born again. We are citizens of Israel today. I'm not talking about the one, as the old timers used to say, across the pond or across the ocean. I'm talking about that new Jerusalem, that new city of Israel that John saw coming down on the Isle of Patmos today. There's a preaching spirit in here this morning, and there's a lot to cover. I don't know about this world, but folks, this world is not my home. I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger passing through. But I do know where I'm going to. People say, can you describe to me what that city looks like? I know that the Bible, John said it has 12 foundations. It has a gate on every side. It has walls of jasper and gates of pearl and streets of gold. And it has a river that flows through the midst of it. And there's a tree of life on either side of the river. I know that there's a throne that's high and lifted up. And I know there's a white-haired man sitting upon that throne. And people say, well, that means that he's old and decrepit. No, it's just painting us a picture of the purity of God, that He has all things under control. And folks, that's why sometimes I get a desire to go on home, Sister Ruby, because I'm a pilgrim and a stranger here. I don't fit in with the world. They don't look at me and say, there's somebody that's really got it made. They don't look at me and say, there's one that we like to have on our team or on our side, because I have nothing in common with them. I've got my eyes set on a different place to this morning. A place that is pure and holy. A place that this world in all of its luster and its grandeur cannot compare to. People say, well, there's a lot of beautiful places upon this world. Yes, and God made it in 6 days and He rested on the seventh. Can you imagine? This earth is just a little picture of what heaven has for God's people when we get there today. It's got a place that has got your name and my name on it. People say, well, I don't know about that. I want my place to be bigger and better than everybody else's. Just give me a tent to live in. I'd rather live in a tent with the children of God than I had to have the greatest of houses and die and go to hell. They said, let the world make fun of us. Let the world pull their noses up at us. Let them talk about us. Let them say that we're a bunch of nobodies, a bunch of vagabonds. You know what a vagabond is? It's somebody that just wanders here to there, has no sense of direction, and most of them were seen as thieves and robbers in the Bible time. But folks, today, I don't know much about the world. I don't know much about the economic condition. I don't know about what it's going to take to turn our country around, other than people repent of their sins and get back to God. But this one thing I do know, I may live in a tent on this side, but I've got a mansion. Anybody else got a mansion? Come on now. Anybody else got a mansion waiting on you? They used to sing a song that said, my name's inscribed above the doors. There's a lot of things that we sing about that I can't verify with the Word of God. But there's one thing I do know. As long as I make it inside the gate, hallelujah. everything is going to be all right, Kenny Banks. All of our loved ones that's outstripped us and gone on, they're waiting for us over on the other side. That ought to make a Baptist church want to rejoice on a Sunday morning. All of our loved ones are there. Our friends and neighbors that's outstripped us and gone on, they're waiting for us there. The patriarchs are waiting for us there. The saints are waiting for us over there. But most of all, there's a Lamb of God that's waiting in the midst of the city. In fact, can I just preach my heart this morning as I close? I believe it just like this way, every time a new one comes in the gate, I believe he stands up and honors them that they've made it. And he says, welcome you that were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. And folks, I've told the church here many times that it doesn't matter where they put me when I get there, Brother Ron. I'd be happy standing at the door welcoming the saints as they come in. Can you imagine seeing this morning as I close? These are not people that don't have a permanent residence. They've got a home. You may not be able to see it, but they've got a home waiting for them on the other side of Jordan. If it were possible, wouldn't it be something to see those that were in wheelchairs get up and walk in the gates? Oh, to see those that were blind not have to have a stick or a dog to lead them along. They walk right in the streets. To hear and see those that could not hear, to be able to see them the first time they called a chord of that angelical choir that's singing over there now. Sister and brothers, today you say the angels are singing now. The angels are singing now. But when God declares that time shall be no more, the angels will stop their singing. And those bunch of tent dwellers, oh, they're going to strike up and begin to sing like the angels cannot sing today. And to see those that once was lost. People say, well, how did it come to you? Put them in that group. I may not have been blind. I may not have been deaf. I may not have been mute. I may not have been lame. But folks, I had a sickness that was worse than all of them because I was lost and undone without God. But praise God, somebody told me that I could make myself a citizen of a new country if I would just believe in God. Go back and read. In the Old Testament, when people saw how God was blessing them, they said, we want to leave where we're at and join you. The Bible said, finally, God said, okay, you can join us, but you can't marry in our groups. This is the Bible. You remember the Nethinims? They joined up along the way. You know what we are, folks? We're a bunch of Gentiles that seen how God was blessing the Jews, and we said, if they don't want you, I'll take you, dear Lord. They don't want anything to do with you, count me in. Because I see what you've done for them. And people say, well, how can you say you've seen what they've done? Has anybody ever read about on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross? The emblem of suffering and shame. How a man died upon that cross so that his people could live. His people rejected him and he gave the command, go out into the highways and hedges and compel those Gentiles, those dogs to come in. And folks, now I am no longer a tent dweller. I have a home that is waiting for me. How many of you remember that song? I've got a home in glory land that outshines the stars. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I know I've got a place waiting for me. Robin Sharon, come and get a song of invitation. And the only reason why I get to go is because like in the book of Hebrews 11 chapter, I believe God, His Word, and His promises, and He has come through on every one of them. This morning, you do not have to go to that city called hell. You do not have to go there. You can change your direction. People say, Sister Lee, how can I do it? I don't want to go there. I've heard about heaven all my life. And it sounds like a good place to go. The devil will tell you you've done too much wrong to be able to be admitted there. How many of us today will confess before this congregation that we was an alien to the commonwealth of Israel, that we were enmity against God? In fact, just put it this way, How many of you sinned and knew that you was headed to hell and destruction before Jesus come into your life? Hold your hands up there high and mighty. Let the world see it this morning in the house of God that you don't have to stay where you're at. The best thing that ever happened to me was when I got a change of address card. The Lord changed my future. And folks, I'm able to tell everybody where I go in my testimony. If you ever want to hear, or if you do hear that I'm dead and I'm gone and people wonder where I'm at, let me tell you where my forwarding address is. It's Glory Land Avenue is where you'll find me. Right down on Main Street, if there is such a thing, because you'll find me at the throne of Jesus Christ worshiping, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world." This morning while we stand and they sing a verse of a song, I invite you to come and get your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. I invite you to come and get your address. Change from hell and destruction to life everlasting in heaven above. While we sing a verse of a song. I'm a stranger. Help them sing this song, church. Yes. How about you, Mom and Dad? The Lord wants to save you. Let you no longer be a tent dweller. No longer let you have an eternity in hell, but to give you a home in glory when this life comes to an end. Listen to that. And I'm never alone. Yes. Now bring it up a notch, church. Yes. How about you, Mom and Dad? The Lord wants to save you. He wants to give you that home in glory. If Abram would have stayed right where he was at, he would never have received that blessing. But because he believed God, he went a-walking, although he didn't know where God was taking him. Why don't you take that walk this morning? Take that walk to an old-fashioned altar of prayer and let God save your soul. And then you'll never be alone. Yes. Amen and amen. I've enjoyed myself in the house of the Lord despite the devil. Despite the devil working. And you say, how did he work? Because some of these that are lost listen to him yet another time. Folks, I read this article that Kenny gave to me. This saying, I really don't know what it is. It's just a statistic if you'll have it. And you know, this goes right with the message this morning, because if you continue to be careless in your life, you're going to find yourself upon your deathbed, calling out to God, and God won't hear your voice. Or God will take you suddenly, and you'll find no place. Is that not what the Bible says about Esau? He sought. He tried to seek the Lord and get his birthright back. And he sought it with tears. But he didn't find it. Folks, I'm not saying this to scare you. But I look around me and I see people that are going out one by one of all different age brackets. Some of them know the Lord. Some of them upon their deathbed may have cried out and the Lord saved them. We have a friend here at the church that we went to the hospital for many weeks and visit with him. And the Lord had blessed him in life. He even helped with the building of this church. The Lord had blessed him greatly in life. But he had never surrendered his life into the hands of God. And I was there many a nights after work talking to him. And he said, I know I need to get saved. And he says, I know that there is a God. And he says, I know there was Jesus Christ. Sounds like most of us. The Bible says that a fool would say that there is no God. We went to see him on a Saturday. And before church on a Sunday morning, the call came that he was going into eternity. There was another preacher that was there on Saturday night, maybe Sunday morning as well. And his wife went into the room and asked him if everything was all right. And he was comatose at that time. And the hope that was left was that his head made a little movement, or his eyes moved, or he clenched her hand just a little bit tighter. I can't recall which of the three it was. But that's the hope, that when she asked him that question, there was a response that comes. I hope to see him in glory land. I hope to see him there. But folks, once you reject the Lord, there is no promise that God will come back and offer you another time. There's no promise that he will visit you upon your bed of affliction. There's no promise that he will be there when you call upon him. Because he told them in the book, and David said it like this. He said, the Lord, because the Lord called and you mocked him, you laughed at his invitation. He said, there'll come a day that you will call upon the Lord and the Lord will laugh at you in your day of calamity. That's why today is the day of salvation. Can we have one more verse of some song, Brother Rob? Because I don't want you to leave here unwarned that this service could seal your eternal destiny. Would you make that step this morning? Just make that step, faith believing, and God will save you. He will save you if you'll believe upon His finished work at Calvary. Yes. We've done our part today, church. But you that rejected the Lord, our prayer is that you'll find you an altar somewhere and call upon Him. Ask somebody to sit down and pray with you. They'll pray with you today and help you to get that assurance that you need in your heart. One more announcement today and then I'll get out of the way. Dottie was telling me that Lane got saved on Friday night at a youth revival. Isn't that something? Youth camp at a Baptist church. And I appreciate that. I know that makes Grandma awful excited about it. And Grandpa. And it's just another one that the devil cannot get. And we thank God for that. And then also I put an article on the board from Leonardo. And he said in the last quarter they've had 20 souls saved over there in the Philippines. And we thank God for that as well. I have this that Jim is going to make copies so we can get this back to Kenny. And because this is good stuff, and we'll make several copies and put out there in a foyer of the church, and you grab you one of these and put it in your Bible, put it somewhere that you can see it, and share it with your family. This being careless is costing us. We need to be prepared for what life brings at us today. Moms and dads, get one of these for your kids and give it to them. as well. Remember our service tonight at 6 o'clock and our business meeting, annual business meeting to follow the service. So come back and be with us tonight. As they used to say in the old time Baptist churches, let's go pray and come back praying, expecting great things to happen when we come to the house of the Lord. And Wayne did not get a deer this week, but Maximus got one. Yeah, Max got a deer, his first one. And so we know he's all excited. Wayne, you'll get yours this week, maybe. All right. Brother, there you go. Brother Eli's coming in to pray. Those of you that like to stick around and pray with us, we invite you to come as well.